Had a really wonderful day. So we had started to discuss the beginning of the third parak, the topic of aninos, that is to say, the halachic period which is between the passing of an immediate relative and the burial, and we focused primarily on the dispute between Rashi and Tosos as to whether, when we talk about pater, mikriya shema, min hatfilin, and we call mitzvos hamuros patorah, what we're really talking about is an exemption, or that the halacha is saying that really you should not be involved in any other mitzvos because that is an intrinsic part of Kavod HaMeis. And we were discussing to what extent the people who are present at the Levaya are considered Osik B'mitzvah and therefore Pater Min HaMitzvah. Is it a situation where they're so involved because they're literally carrying the mace, they're carrying the Aron so that it would be impossible for them to say Kriyat Shema? Are they in the background? And we discussed the concept of Osik B'mitzvah, Pater Min HaMitzvah, being, as we called it, E'efshar L'kayim Shnehem. Quite possibly, it must only apply, or may only apply in a situation where it would be impossible to accomplish both mitzvahs at once. That is to say, the mitzvah of kavuras hameis as well as the mitzvah, in this case, of kriyat shema. Now, what we're going to talk about tonight is a very similar case, but with a slight wrinkle to it that's going to represent a certain kind of a complication. In the Mishnah we discussed last night, we were talking about two mitzvos, which were mitzvos min haTorah. They were both mitzvos midoraisa, to recite Kriyat Shema, of course, Kriyat Shema Shachris v'Arvis, based on the Pasuk in the sixth chapter of Devarim, B'shach b'cha v'kumecha, and the mitzvah of Kivura, which emerges later on in Sefer Devarim, as the Pasuk says in Parshas Kisetze, ki kavor tik berenu b'yom hahu, that we actually have to bury the person, ideally, the very day of passing. In Israel, sometimes we're able to accomplish this. Very rarely in the diaspora can we accomplish this. So the second Mishnah deals with that topic, but it moves on to another mitzvah, the mitzvah of Nichum Avelim. And Nichum Avelim is going to be more complicated because there is a debate between the Rambam, who considers Nichum Avelim to be fundamentally the Rabbanan. We'll discuss it more on Shabbos. Let's say Rabbeinu Yonah, who quotes the position of the Baal Halachos Gedolos, who considers that to be a mitzvah d'oraisa. So if you have a competition typically between a mitzvah d'Rabbanan and a mitzvah d'oraisa, the mitzvah d'oraisa should win. So this Mishnah is a little bit complicated in the sense that it's going to present Nichum Avelim as contrasting with Kriyat Shema, and you would think that in that conflict, Kriyat Shema is going to win every single time because that's the mitzvah min haTorah, that's the Torah-level mitzvah. Nichum Avelim, according to Rambam, anyway, is a mitzvah d'Rabbanan. So that's going to be a complication that we see in tonight's Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Kavru es hameis, so they fulfilled the mitzvah min haTorah of Kavura, ki kavortik berenu bayom ahu, v'chazru, and now they're moving away from the grave itself. Im yecholin lahaschil, if they can start reciting the Shema, v'ligmor, it sounds like to complete the entire Shema, and that's certainly the interpretation of the Rambam, but the Bartanura says that they only really have to be able to finish the first paragraph. He may subscribe to the view of Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah is of the view that only the first paragraph of Kriyat Shema, the recitation, is Midaraisa. The second and third paragraphs of Ayayim Shemoa Vayomer are only rabbinic. So again, that's a dispute, what we mean by Ligmor. Im yecholin lahaschil v'ligmor, ad shelo yagiu l'shura yaschilu. Basically, if they can finish saying Kriyat Shema before they perform the mitzvah of Nichum Avelim, let them say the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. But if they're not able to do so, and there's just not enough time, so let them skip Kriyat Shema for now. That seems a little bit controversial, because as we said, Nichum Avelim, comforting the mourners, which we all know about after the funeral, you form the lines that we're talking about, what we call the shuros, that should only be a mitzvah derabanan. So this, again, is something which is quite surprising. V'im lav lo yaschilu, if they're not able to finish the Kriyat Shema, let them not start the Kriyat Shema, and therefore have to be interrupted in the middle. Ha'omdim bashura, now let's talk about the Mishnah says, those who are involved in the midst of Nichum Avelim. It was already enough of a chiddush to say that Kriyat Shema could be suspended in the face of Nichum Avelim, because Nichum Avelim appears to be only a mitzvah derabanan. But now we're going to talk about people who are involved in Nichum Avelim in a tangential way, but they're not really going to have face-to-face contact with the mourners. And imagine there's many, many people. Imagine 1,000 people show up at a burial. It's obviously a very rare thing. But let's say something like that would happen. And so you'd have rows 10 deep. So only the people in the first row or maybe the second row are actually going to have any eye contact. They're going to be able to actually say to the mourners, Hamako minachem ischem besoch shar vele tzion v'yushalayim. So the Mishnah says, Ha'omdim b'shura ha'ptimim p'turin, those who are in the inner rows of the shura, that is to say, the ones that are closest to the Avelim as they pass through, again, right after the burial, they're going to be exempted from Shema, v'achitzonim chayavim. Those who are further away, those who are packing the back rows, you know, moving back away from the mourners who aren't really going to have that face-to-face contact, so they're going to be obligated in Shema. So we have a very similar question to the one that we raised last night. Well, I thought people who, you know, came to attend a funeral, so they should be considered involved in a mitzvah as well, levaya sameis. So these individuals who are standing in the rows, even though they may not be the ones who are in direct face-to-face contact with the mourners, nonetheless, one would assume that they're still really involved in a mitzvah, so whatever dispensation applies on the inside should apply on the outside. So again, this Mishnah is coming to reinforce the principle that osek b'mitzvah patar min ha-mitzvah, to say that somebody is involved in a mitzvah and therefore they should be exempted from mitzvahs, does not apply in all cases. I think certainly the people who are on the outer rows are going to be given credit in general for being present there and for attempting to be involved in the Yichum Avelim. Certainly it gives people a sense of comfort. They may not be able to hear the recitation of the formula, but if you see that they're 10 rows deep in a funeral, it certainly brings you a sense of comfort. So to say that they're not involved in a mitzvah, that would be, I think, very radical. So I think what we see here is, again, another instantiation of the principle that we clarified last night. So to generate an exemption, from the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, Pater Min HaMitzvah, you really have to be involved in a mitzvah, osik b'mitzvah, to the point where one would interfere with the other. If you're in the back row, and you know nobody's going to hear you, you'd be able to focus on Shema, because you know it's really just your presence there, which is comforting to the mourner who's passing through. Now the Rambam adds in one addendum here, which is a very critical point. As a general matter, he says, well, maybe we could avoid this conflict altogether. Here we are discussing this Mishnah about a potential conflict between Kriyat Shema and the mitzvah of Kavura, the mitzvah of comforting the mourners, but why don't we just use a little bit of practical scheduling? Why don't we schedule the funeral for a time when it's not going to interfere with the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema? And the Rambam says that is exactly, in fact, what we do. We're very careful to schedule that the funeral should take place at a time where it's not going to cause an interruption of Kriyat Shema, an interruption of Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim, the community, unless, the Rambam says, it's an Adam Gadol, unless a person is really a great individual. So you might say, okay, what the Rambam means to say, it's that they're a great individual, so it's kind of a matter of kavod, it's a matter of respect, or kavod HaTorah, but I'd like to suggest perhaps a different interpretation of this halacha, and with this we'll conclude. Maybe the reason that the Rambam thinks, as he writes, that a person who's an Adam Gadol, a really great individual, so we don't worry as much in that case about a conflict of Kriyat Shema, is what we've said many times over the last number of weeks. The essential mitzvah of Kriyat Shema is not the recitation of chapter 6 of Dvarim, of chapter 11 of Dvarim, of chapter 15 of Bamidbar. There's an expression we've used probably 100 times. Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim. It's a way of accepting the yoke of heaven. It's a way of acknowledging and affirming our loyalty to Hashem. So sometimes there are different ways of doing this. This is the insight of the Rav, of Rabbi Soloveitchik. Sometimes that could even be achieved through Torah study. So I'd like to suggest that when it comes to the funeral of an Adam Gadol, by paying homage to somebody who was literally in his lifetime a walking Sefer Torah, that everything about this individual, from the moment that they got up in the morning to the moment that they went to sleep at night, everything that they did, what they did because of Malchus Shamayim, so honoring such a person in its own way is a form of Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim. So in that case, we're going to be a little bit less concerned about a technical conflict between that person's funeral and Kriyat Shema, because by honoring that person, what you're really doing is you're affirming the values for which that person lived. And that person lived for Kabbalas Malchus Shamayim. So yes, it's true, you're not going to get the Maisa Mitzvah, you're not actually going to have the recitation of Kriyat Shema, but did you, in attending that funeral, affirm the sovereignty of heaven? In my opinion, there can be no doubt about it. Rabbi Chanan ben Akash, Amar Ratzakadosh Baruch Hu Zakos Es Yisrael, Rafika.